service tonight. Lord bless you.
My hearing problem. I don't hear very well with tinnitus and even with the hearing aids on, and I didn't catch what you were saying, Pastor. But I get to come early, so that means I have a lot of time. Right? Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24, if you would. I felt constrained to bring the message I'm going to bring tonight, and it's something that probably we feel, or you feel, or maybe all of us feel, we already have a lot of knowledge about. And yet, I think that there's some things that we need to see in the Word of God that maybe we've ever really considered in the light of what I want to share. Looking at the book of Luke, chapter 24, just prior to Christ ascending into heaven, you read these words beginning with verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the Psalm, Proverbs and in the Psalms concerning me." I better see if I got this on. I don't know whether I do or not. Excuse me for interrupting myself there. "Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, Thus it is written, and thus behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And then he led them as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful again tonight, oh God, for your written word, for the privilege we have to open the word of God, for the freedom we have. Father, I pray above all that our hearts might be responsive to what you have for us tonight. And I just ask, Holy God, that thou wilt work in our lives, and may we treasure up truth that we see tonight and apply that truth to our lives. And I pray that you would use your word in a very special way. I would ask you for your filling and for your power and for your anointing upon your word, Lord. Just bless each one that's here tonight in their lives, in their personal walk, and in whatever needs are theirs. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we all know, if we were studying the Gospels, that almost every page we would read about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his works in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or about his person, about his name, about his power, many, many things we would read about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we see at the end of his life, he tells them to tarry. You know, there's a verse that often has come back to my thinking. I won't take the time to turn there. In Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus said, well, it's recorded back in the Old Testament in prophecy, "Lowering the volume of the book is written of me. Lo, I come to do thy will. Lo, a body thou hast prepared for me." Now we know that Christ came upon this earth in a body prepared for him. The incarnation and all that has to do with the person of the Lord Jesus. "A body thou hast prepared for me." They watched that body ascend to heaven. How was he going to carry on his work? If you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1, and I think we, as I said, we know about a lot of these things, but I'm not sure that we maybe apply them in the way that we really ought to. We're looking here at the choice ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 1, you read, "Until the day in which he was taken up." You see, Luke was writing to Theophilus. In the very first verse, he said, "O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen." And again, we read of his encouraging them to tarry in Jerusalem in verse 4, not depart until they wait for the promise of the Father, which has been promised to you from me, that you've heard of me. And John truly baptized with water, but ye will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence or from now. And when they therefore were come together, they asked this question, when will you restore the kingdom? That wasn't the concern that should be theirs. Jesus said in verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Since the Lord Jesus Christ had a body prepared for him, he ministered through that body. What's the body that the Holy Spirit's using today? You know, there are a number of things I want us to really circle around in Scripture and the teaching. And that is that the Holy Spirit came as he was promised. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I pray the Father to send you a comforter, the Spirit of truth who will lead you unto all truth. He will teach you all things to come. He will not speak his own words. He will speak the words that I give him. He will come to glorify me. In John 15, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will testify of me, and ye also shall testify of me. And you're to be my witnesses. Way back in John chapter 7, that first great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, come to me, all ye that drink. Come, ye that are thirst. Drink, why? Because out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake unto those who believe, but this would not yet take place until Christ was glorified, and it would take place through the work of the Holy Spirit. This he spoke of the Spirit, who was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. Now, friend, how are we going to live that day-by-day life in the power of God, in witnessing and living a holy life and living a godly life? You that are going off to college, you that are going to universities, you that are going to prepare maybe in a Bible college, you that are going to be in high school, you that are going to be in different grade schools possibly. I don't know where all you may be attending on the part of the individuals that make up this church. But in a day-by-day work-a-day world on the part of all of us, who's there to work in our lives and through our lives? Oh, the promise of the Holy Spirit, his power upon us, his working in our lives, his ministry to us, his ministry through us. Jesus said in John chapter 16, it's expedient for you, very important for you that I go away. If I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Now, I'm looking at every one of you feeling that probably you know Christ as Savior. If you don't, you need to settle that. But who is it that dwells within you? You say the Holy Spirit. To what degree do you look to the Holy Spirit for his office work, his ministry in your life and through your life? The Holy Spirit came to fulfill a lot of different purposes. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that work in our lives, and I'm not minimizing. You know, sometimes when we bring a message like this, we think, well, it's Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is carrying out the office work of the Trinity in my life and your life, and he's the one that makes Jesus real to you. He's the one that makes Christ wonderfully real to you in salvation. He's the one that causes you to fall in love with the Lord Jesus and all that's involved. He's not working in your life to magnify himself. He's working in your life to magnify the Father, to magnify the Son, not himself. And yet he's limited because he's often grieved, and his work is often quenched because we do not recognize what he's there to do. And we don't recognize him there as being in our life to fulfill those things that he indwells in our lives to do. You know, it's one thing to be a resident in a home. It's quite another thing to be president there. I've been a resident in some people's homes for 1 week. But I didn't rearrange their furniture, and I didn't change anything in their house. I was just a guest for a few days. The Holy Spirit is more than a guest. The Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Son or God the Father. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us to carry out the will of the Godhead three. And he's there as the Spirit of truth. He's there as the Spirit of power. He's there as the Spirit of faith. These are names of the Holy Spirit. He's there as the Comforter and all those that those words mean. And since the Holy Spirit is there to fulfill those ministries in my life, can he? You see, Jesus said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. The Holy Spirit doesn't say this, of course, but he could say, I have many bodies, every saved, born-again person. I wonder to what degree he's able to work in our lives and through our lives to carry out the will of the Father. We read here in the book of Acts chapter 1 that was Jesus began to do and teach. Yes, that's when he walked upon this earth. But afterward, his commandments carried out through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we read this title here, the Acts of the Apostles. I think the correct title of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the apostles and the early disciples. It's the Acts and the work of the Holy Spirit. You find in the book of Acts, rather the Gospel, the name of Jesus on almost every page. You find in the book of Acts, in chapter 28 chapters, the name Holy Spirit 40 sometimes, the Spirit 60 sometimes. On almost every page, you meet him in his actions and his activity in the lives of the early church. You see him on almost every page, carrying out the will of the Father. The book of Acts is not supposed to have ended. Amen? In other words, you and I can enter into this challenge of God's word if we want to in a new way, trusting the Holy Spirit in a new way, believing him for what he's there to do, and realizing that he is there to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose and God's will in our lives. If I ask how many of you know you're saved, I think there'd be a sea of hands. If I ask how many of you know you're filled with the Spirit, you'd say, well, I can't presume on that. Yet I'm commanded back in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The early believers in the book of Acts, on every page virtually in the book of Acts, you see the power of the Holy Spirit in the actions and the work and the ministry of Peter and Paul and Philip and Stephen and on and on and on, Silas and Barnabas and various individuals, many of course who were not named, who were in ministry. And so we could look at our own lives and say, to what degree do we really understand the person and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? So first of all, we see that he was promised and he has a purpose. All these names delineate to us his purpose. Spirit of truth to lead us in all truth, to keep us from falsehood, Comforter and all that that means. And I'm not going to take the time tonight to go into detail. I know I need to be brief, and I'm not sure how brief I'll be, but I don't want to take a whole lot of time. But the third thing I want you to think with me about is that he came to give us power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, these were unlearned and ignorant men who began to witness, and there were 3,000 people saved on that day, the work of the Holy Spirit through them. They begin to share the mighty work of God in 13 languages that they had not known. You say, well, that's the miracle working of God, the Holy Spirit in and through them. That's right. But he wants to work miracles in us today, not necessarily give us the ability of a language we haven't learned. But every time you and I witness and we work with people and we see them saved and we see people who are backslidden, as we read in the book of James, to reclaim those who walked away from the Lord, God's working a miracle through our lives. He's working that which is eternal in the life of an individual. And you and I need to be involved daily in that work of which is eternal. Whether we're in school or whether we're out here in the workaday world or wherever we may be. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. We're skipping Acts chapter 3, where the man who was 42 years of age was wonderfully healed, who had been at the gate beautiful day after day and day after day, and now was leaping and running and praising God. And they were put in prison and all the things that took place and all the warnings because of the fact that of their determination to be used and continued giving out the gospel. And in Acts chapter 4, being let go, verse 23, being let go out of the prison and out of the council that they were in at this point, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. You know, they could have said, they told us not to say anything anymore. We've just got to quit talking because we're going to all be in prison. You read their prayer. I'm not going to read it all right here, this portion of scripture. I'm going to drop down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they played, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that command, be filled with the Spirit, is in the present tense. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. Day after day, walking in the power and the leadership and the word Spirit, filled with the Spirit, excuse me. Filled does not mean like filling a glass. It's really the word control. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not controlled, as we read in Ephesians, with alcohol, but controlled by the Spirit. And they wanted boldness. They wanted to be able to give forth the word of God in power. Friend, do you and I pray for that every day? Do we look to the Holy Spirit for boldness and expect him to give boldness to lead us to hearts that he is preparing, to ask for divine appointments that God can use us, whether in the life of another believer that hasn't grown and is away from the Lord and backslidden in very maybe horrible condition, or someone lost that we're witnessing to and working with. Every one of us is that body the Holy Spirit wants to use. As we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Who controls that temple? As the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of power, the Holy Spirit. And he's there to give us power, power over sin. Amen? Power and boldness to speak for the Lord Jesus. Whatever it may be that God is wanting you to do, to carry out in life. You see, over and over again, the Word of God tells about the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and what he did. And yet Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 12, I go to my Father, and greater works shall you do than I have done. And we read something like that and we say, oh no. Greater works shall you do than I have done. That can only take place as the Holy Spirit has control of our lives, and we trust Him to use us, and we expect Him to use us, and we want Him to use us for His praise and His glory and His honor. We might magnify the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to say in closing, because I'm deliberately trying to make this very short. When we study the Word of God, the book of Acts and other portions of Scripture, you find, friend, that the Holy Spirit was the Lord of the harvest. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers." You begin to study the book of Acts. Who set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them? The Holy Spirit. Who led Philip wherever he went? The Holy Spirit. Who told Paul where to go? The Holy Spirit. Who told Peter to go to Cornelius' house? The Holy Spirit. Who's the Lord of the harvest? The Holy Spirit. How can he carry out that work? He has no body of his own. How's his work going to be carried out? How's the work of the Father going to be carried out? Except through the lives of God's blood-bought children who would say daily, "Holy Spirit, control me. I want to be a clean vessel, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. I want to be a vessel that can magnify you, Heavenly Father. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Take charge of my life. Give me the boldness to speak for you." Father, maybe there are a lot of people around us, Christians around us, wherever you are, maybe around a lot of Christians, who really need a wake-up call that all of us need and I need. And that wake-up call is to realize that the Holy Spirit wants to use me. And it's the only way God's work is going to be done is through His people. Let's pray. Father, I ask you especially tonight, Lord, that our hearts might be open and responsive and receptive to what we've looked at in the Word of God. And that we would realize that the Holy Spirit dwelling within us wants to do that work in us and through us by which, O God, your work will be done on earth. You've told the disciples to go into all the world and give the gospel to every creature. And yet do not go until you tarry, until you're being endued with power from on high. Father, may we desire to be endued with power from on high, not expecting another Pentecost, but expecting the Holy Spirit in the same work and ministry through us as He did the early church, that He might work miracles through us, spiritual miracles in the lives of lost and saved around us. I wonder right now how many would stand right where you are. I won't ask you to come forward or sing a song or give an invitation other than this. How many would stand right where you are with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around? Stand and tell the Lord. Do a little business with the Holy Spirit and ask Him to take over in your life and take your life and begin to use you in a new way. Step out by faith and believe Him for what He's promised to do. He's promised. Will you come and will you stand and tell the Lord? Father, we're not worthy. We're not worthy to even be used of you. Lord, I think back many years ago when, in a new way, I understood the work of the Holy Spirit, and I, who was so backward and fearful, became a bold witnesser, all because of yielding to the Holy Spirit and all the change you brought in my life as I yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would create in us the faith to trust the Holy Spirit in a new way. As we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, in simple faith, that we would believe in, trust in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way, and believing by faith for that which he wants to do in our lives. Bless, O God, to that end, for your glory, your praise, your honor, and we thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated.